This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
I begin this episode of Marginalia a bit red in the face. You see, I interviewed Jenny Aufill about her novel Weather on March 6th. It was the last interview I conducted in studio at the station. The next week, we started working from home. The abrupt change affected many of us. My reading habits changed drastically, and the focus of my work shifted dramatically. I conducted a few more interviews from a home studio, and I even managed to produce a couple of those into podcasts. But something was stopping me from returning to that conversation with Jenny Aufill. I finally finished the edit last week, though, and hopefully I've cleared a mental hurdle. So allow me to introduce you to Jenny Aufill and her novel Weather, because even though I'm tardy, this novel is still so timely. You might recognize Aufill from her first two books, Last Things and Department of Speculation. Weather, like the others, is quite spare, right at 200 pages with a lot of white space. The main character is the librarian, and through her, Aufill introduces some pretty powerful topics: family, addiction, and climate change. So let's get to it. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. Your novel is titled Weather. Do you have an elevator speech for it?
I don't, and I should. I had the beginnings of one where I would say it's about a librarian who becomes a climate change doomer, but I started to realize that that wasn't accurate, because by the end of it, I think the main character is less doomy than she is at the beginning or the middle of it. So I'm looking for an elevator speech if anyone has one.
How would you describe the structure of the novel?
Well, I had an idea that I wanted it to actually sort of, we always hear about atmospheric novels, but I was thinking, what would it be like if it sort of, it felt like the way sometimes conversations sort of swirl around you, or you feel like you're, I was interested in this idea that of kind of what's the backdrop of our life right now, and this kind of hum of dread and anxiety that so many people are feeling. So I was trying to create a character that kind of moved in and out of this, going from her family life to her work at the library, and also just what's happening on the streets of New York as she passes through.
So climate change is just one subject that the novel touches on. What drew you to that?
When I first was writing the novel, I was thinking about anticipatory dread, when you're afraid, whether it's of getting older and getting sick, or it's of losing people. Obviously, right now, we're in the midst of a rather worldwide feeling of anticipatory dread as people watch for this unfolding story that's going on with the coronavirus. And one day, I just asked myself the question, like, why can I hear all these really dire facts about climate change, but why don't I feel anything? And for me, that became the impetus to write about a character who kind of slowly begins to know more.
There were a few instances in the book where you write about the speed of time and slowing down. I can't recall all of them, but those that struck with me were when a girl at Lizzie's library commented on having to slow down because she was using an older style cell phone. And another was when Will had been walking for 8 months and was shocked at how quickly the vehicle was moving once he rode in one again. And early in the book, Lizzie says, "My number one fear is the acceleration of days. No such thing, supposedly, but I swear I can feel it." Talk to me about your thoughts, or perhaps Lizzie's thoughts, about time.
That line about the acceleration of days was just, it was something that floated into my head, and I couldn't get it to go away. And I was interested in it because it has that biblical cadence. The end of days, whatever. But I was thinking about the word acceleration, because I think one of the things that, speaking for myself, makes it hard sometimes for me to think about what's going on around me is that by the time I begin to think about it, it feels like there's so many new pieces of information to fold in. So the bit about the phone is actually something that a young college student said to me, and I thought it was so funny because I realized actually that she was saying that her phone was old because sometimes she received information like a second or two later than she would have normally. And she was talking about how it's okay, I don't mind falling behind, I don't mind. And I thought, this is a rare moment of concrete proof that she's living at a faster time feeling than I am. I also, when I moved out of the city after living there for 17 years, a friend of mine who had done the same said, oh, you're going to find that time moves more slowly. And I thought, well, that's not true. But it sort of began to feel like it did. I think because I felt like I was having less information coming in, or to be honest, probably if I was a naturalist, there'd be the same amount of information coming in. But since I pay attention to humans more than I pay attention to trees, I wasn't feeling as much of that, and it felt more expansive.
You know, so many of the thoughts in the book were what felt like diary-like moments struck a chord with me, and I'm just going to read a couple and wonder if you'll comment on them.
Sure.
One read, they say when you're lonely, you start to lose words.
Well, I have a little bit of it's a long-time interest. I love to read about the science of abstract things. So I became obsessed for a while with someone at the University of Chicago who was doing social neuroscientists, and he was studying loneliness. And it was all about the way loneliness affects your body. It was also about how the really difficult thing about when people are lonely is that they start to perceive more threat around them. So they become prickier, and that leads to less people talking to them. And when less people talk to you, sometimes it becomes harder to figure out what to say. And I knew from my own experiences with depression, there can be that feeling where you sometimes just can't remember how people do these everyday things, like say hello to each other or go to the store and do something. You're trying, but your mind is sort of losing the regular words that you would use. So I think those two ideas were kind of playing against each other when I wrote that section.
Okay, another one. This moment, Lizzie thinks, cushions for the strong, chairs for the weak, not sure where to sit.
Well, I'm never sure which category I fall into. That section was based on a moment I thought was very funny in meditation class, where I noticed that there was an older man that was always there, and the teacher was a woman, and she sometimes spoke, it seemed, particularly sharply to him. The rest of us were let off a little more easily. And then at one point, I realized after a long time that it was her husband. And she said in passing, oh, he always, he sits on a chair at home, but here he'll try to sit on a cushion. So that they, because usually it's the older people or people that are having some kind of health problems that are sitting on a chair in meditation. And that just translated in my mind to a slightly larger question of who's weak and who's strong, spiritually and physically.
Your novel Last Things is about 275 pages. Department of Speculation is just under 200 pages, and Weather is just over 200 pages. I've heard that it's more difficult to write with an economy of words, or, you know, like a spare or succinct novel. Is that your experience?
Well, I think that those of us who write short novels are very attached to that idea. I don't know if it's empirically true or not. I know that I am always trying to figure out how much I can fit in the smallest space. And I think part of that is just because when I maybe first came to writing, I started out reading a lot of poetry. And though that's not the direction I went in, I was really interested in kind of the layers of implication or nuance, or even just things like when I title a novel, I like to feel like the title can do a couple things at the same time. So for me, it does take a long time to make the sentences kind of serve the story and also maybe have another element for those who are interested. But I'm not sure why I actually felt like quite pleased when I saw that this one was longer than Department, because I had no idea where it was going to end up on the spectrum.
Back to the elevator speech, or that would-be elevator speech. I read a piece in The Guardian, which came out in 2015, and in it you were being interviewed about your first two books, Last Things in Department of Speculation, and you said that if those books were described to you, you wouldn't want to read them. Does the same hold true for Weather?
Well, at least this one is about a librarian, and I find librarians intrinsically really interesting because I feel like they work somewhere where they get a complete cross-section of society coming in, and they also have these sort of multiple functions now, for better or for worse, where they're not only doing the work that they went to school for, but they're also usually working in kind of a social worker capacity often. But that said, I don't necessarily, I don't start from the point of what the story is going to be at the end. I want there to be some surprise and mystery to it. So it's usually about three quarters of the way through that I've been writing these small little sections and making each of those the way I'd like them to be. And then I step back and see how the story is emerging, what elements of it seem to be most interesting or have the most kind of depth to them. So that's the process, which is slightly unusual, I guess, for a fiction writer, although there's many others who do it as well. But for me, it just means that I never have the good soundbite. I once went on a local TV show and they asked me, okay, what's the takeaway? And I was like, oh no, I don't know the takeaway. I never know the takeaway. It seems to be the takeaway.
Well, do you think readers, do you think we see ourselves in it?
I mean, I hope so. I certainly, one of the reasons that I write in this style where there's space in between sections is that I really do think of reading as a, well, like an act of community where you're having a conversation. And even though it's you're hearing the writer's voice in your head, and I always want there to be a moment where you can sort of pause and bring your own train of associations in. So there are blank spaces between sections. I know what would happen there. I know what I would have written if I'd written it in a more linear way. But I also want to allow for the reader to make those connections themselves.
Do you live with more hope or dread?
I think that depends on the day. I think that in general, our minds are designed to default to dread because in terms of how we're wired, it's more important that we recognize things that we fear than things that might be hopeful. We hear all the time about how we can't live like this any longer. But how can we live is kind of the question. But one of the great things in the process of writing this novel was that I just kept coming across people that were doing interesting things, people that were doing things that were reimagining. I ended up, by the end of it, feeling like there was lots of interesting activism to get involved in and starting to find my way into that.
That was Jenny Aufhill, author of the novel Weather, which was published by Knopf.
Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. You can find other episodes at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoy these conversations, please give us a rating and review. Marginalia was produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editor is Luann Stevens, and I'm the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.